Senator, we've got breaking news out of the Middle East this morning that Hamas has accepted a draft agreement for a ceasefire and the release of dozens of hostages. Israeli officials say progress has been made, but details are being finalized. The mediator says that we're at the closest point yet to sealing a deal. Do you think it's actually going to happen this time?
You never know till you know. That my prayers are certainly that it does. That's something I've been extremely focused on. We have, from not too far from you, the Chapel Hill area, Keith Siegel is held hostage over there. And we're very hopeful that he is alive and that he is able to be returned to his wife, Aviva. And, you know, it's been absolutely tragic what's happened over since October 7th, 2023. And so these are not reliable negotiators with Hamas. But this is certainly the Trump effect. If you harken back to Reagan, 1980, with the release of the hostages, that were held 444 days. And that's just certainly, when Ronald Reagan came in, they knew that they had somebody that was going to be tough. And the Hamas organization knows that they're going to have that with Trump as well. And they did not have that, unfortunately, the strength that we needed under Biden. But they will under Trump, and hopefully we can get these hostages home.
Back in 1980, as you mentioned, they waited till just after Ronald Reagan had been sworn in as president to release those hostages. Do you think this might actually happen before the inauguration this time?
I hope it happens yesterday. I hope it happens before the end of this interview this morning. We don't know what they're thinking. We just know that they fear President Trump because he is strong, he's clear, and he will not tolerate what Hamas has done to the October 7th victims. And, you know, with Qatar being, you know, they've got status with us right now. We've got military presence over there, and yet they've hosted these terrorists. So it's quite a predicament, and President Trump is going to come in with strength and clarity, and that's exactly what we need right now.
Well, right now, speaking of President-elect Trump, his cabinet appointees, a lot of them are going to be having confirmation hearings before the Senate now. A couple of them are controversial. Most of them, it seems like Marco Rubio, they're going to slide through pretty easily. But there are some contentious nominees, and the one that's making the headlines right now is the nominee for Secretary of Defense, Pete Hegseth. Do you think he will be making it through?
I do, and I'll be meeting with him today. I've met with him personally. I've known him for several years. He's a decorated combat veteran. He's very well educated. He's smart. He's got a great history. He's a good leader. And look, I understand how the Democrats are going to come after him and attack him. I think he's in a good spot. And if you look at what November 5th was about, is about people feeling unsafe and that things are unaffordable and they don't like business as usual. And this is certainly not a business as usual candidate. I think he has the makings of a great Secretary of Defense that will focus on American strength and lethality and not on wokeness. And that's what a lot of what this election was about. And so Pete Hegseth is a great candidate for that. We know the lines of the Democrats are going to attack him on. And let's see if we can get some support across the aisle. I know I'm going to be supporting him, and I'll be with him probably in the next 45 minutes is when the hearing begins.
Now, Tulsi Gabbard, is that nomination in any danger, do you think?
Well, you never know until you know, but I've met with her yesterday. I've known her for years, served with her in the U.S. House. Let's remember that she has had a history as a decorated military individual and has a great military career. She's a highly vetted lieutenant colonel in the Army Reserves, and then her political career is shorter than her military career, but let's think of her through those lenses as a decorated, highly vetted military individual. With a great history. She's smart, articulate, and I think she'll be a great leader of the DNI. So I'm very, very optimistic and had a great meeting with her yesterday.
Now, the only other nominee over whom there seems to be a big question mark, and that's Robert F. Kennedy Jr. with Health and Human Services. Likewise, do you think that one will have any trouble getting through?
Again, same thing. Don't know till you know. I met with him and I asked him questions about his pro-life stance. Or, you know, he was very pro-choice. And I said, let's not in alignment with the Trump administration. Where are you going to be on this? And he says, I'm going to be in alignment with the Trump administration. So I asked him about issues of life, which I'm very pro-life. And then I asked him issues of agriculture. Are you going to be against the largest industry in North Carolina? Well over $100 billion to our state. It's so important all over the state, particularly to the east of Raleigh. And he said, no, he'll be in alignment. He said, there's some things we can do to make us healthy again, but we need agriculture as a business. And we talked about several other issues that I think he can focus on that will be in alignment, whether it's agriculture or life. And again, the administration was elected, President Trump was elected, not to do business as usual, and none of these candidates are business as usual candidates. And so I think Trump is living up to his promises, and he'll be off to a great start on January 20th next week on Monday.
Well, not only do we have the transition from President Trump to President Biden, you've had a transition in the Senate from Mitch McConnell to Senator Thune as the majority leader. How is that going?
Leader Thune is doing a wonderful job. McConnell is still here. He's across the office from me, across the hallway from me. He's still focused on national security for his the time he chooses to be in the Senate. Leader Thune is doing a great job. The very first bill is in alignment with what people elected us to do. They want things to be safe, whether it's internationally or whether it's domestically. The Lake and Riley Act, unfortunately, it's named after a tragic situation, but it's one that we need to prevent from ever happening again. And we need to detain criminal illegal aliens before they commit heinous crimes. And that's what this is about. And that was the very first bill that Leader Thune put up for a vote. Now, we're going through a series of procedural motions, but now we're into the amendment period, and hopefully we can have this on the president's desk next week to be signed.
And finally, Senator, Western North Carolina, the recovery from Hurricane Helene is continuing. Do you anticipate additional federal funding for that?
I do. We have to actually direct the funding that's already been sent there that was in the vote at the end of last Congress. And so getting those dollars spent and spent appropriately with accountability so that they're not lost or misused is the focus now. And in the last remaining days of the Biden administration, we need to make sure that they do what they need to do. We've already had to fight with Representative Pat Harrigan, and I have worked and sent a letter to FEMA asking that that FEMA extend these hotels for people who are still not been permanently placed. And we finally got an extension into January 25th, which will put us squarely in the Trump administration, which is good. When their landing team takes place, we'll begin getting these people what they need to get Western North Carolina rebuilt.
Senator Budd, thank you so much for joining us. Hope to talk to you again real soon.
You too. Thanks for having me.